Sadama Meditation Society, Virginia. Full Retreat 2016, the second day, December 1st. Interview English Myanmar Group.
My question is, if I start to observe be aware like a body sensation, it's like it cannot stay for a while. Immediately, the mind changed to another part. It's like it's always changing. If I observe the seeing, the looking, maybe less than seconds, immediately change to other sound. And, so this is the mind is not stable. Very hard to make it stable.
อายุนี้สึกก็เปียงๆว่าเลยแหละเออตัวสึกโกก็น่ะสเตเบิลถ้าลงไม่เอาเลยอายุตะคู่ๆมาเนเน่จ๋าๆมันนี่อยู่ตัวตะเฉิงลงโหสึกกันไม่หนองมันนี่อยู่แหละเออเย็นตาตีไล่จ้าตาตีไล่คณะกุขันธ์ซ้ําหมดเลยคณะเลยตีไล่ตีไล่เปียงๆเลยไอ้เราตัวสเตเบิลมันผิดหมดเปียงๆอ๋อมาสึกก็อยู่ไม่ได้ตะคู่เฉิงตั้วอยู่ไม่สเตเบิลมันผิดหมดตัวจ้ายตาไม่จ้ายตาผิดมาสเตเบิลมันผิด
It's possible for the mind to actually know in this way. It only becomes not stable. Wow. It only becomes not stable. It only becomes stable when you it only becomes not stable when you like or don't like what is happening. Okay? So the fact that your mind can be aware of what is happening in this way means that there is samadhi, and samadhi is stability of mind. So it's hard to say that the mind is not stable, but if you don't like what's happening, it will feel like it's not stable because of it's the aversion that gives the feeling of instability. But if you just see what is happening as it is and just observe continuously, and especially if you are aware, you know, check that on the aversion, and if there's no aversion, then, you know, if what you are observing, if it feels fast, it may slow down. But aversion will make things feel more intense. So when you know something, you know that this is happening, it means you are aware first. And if you are aware, it means samadhi is present.
Okay.
If you are really uncomfortable with this, like you can't deal with the aversion, then Siyadwa says you can choose to take one object. Use an anchor.
Yeah.
And keep coming back to it.
Even though I choose one anchor, like rising, falling, stomach, breathing,
breathe
but still it does not stay for a while.
Just several
seconds.
He says it may not stay, and you know, it's not our choice to control, like, to make the mind stay or know whatever we want it to. The mind still knows what it does. Our job is to recognize. Yeah. So, you know, awareness is not about choosing where the awareness stays. Awareness is the choice to be aware, and it doesn't matter what you are aware of. So if you're aware of different things, that's okay.
I found that there is a phenomena. Some thinking rise and coming. Then I feel some body, some part, there is some special feeling. So that affect my chest.
Sorry, I'm not understanding what you said.
Chest,
yeah, it
thinks it's chest.
Not a chest, only, for example, I try to be stay awareness for something for a while. If I observe like a sea or something. But later, I get lost. Mind is thinking something. So then I'm trying to find why mind is so easily changed.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm trying to find...
Why the mind is so easily?
Well, mind was so easily changing from wise to move to another place and mm-hmm. getting lost. So now I'm trying to stay, trying to find the reason why mind is so easily changed. So mm-hmm. later I found that because... Some feeling rise.
Mm-hmm.
When I observe something, be aware of that. But later, some feeling rise, and if I don't, if I didn't pay attention, don't know that that feeling, you know, that if that feeling is not obvious, some small subtle feeling. So then it looks like mind to be affected by feeling. Mind looks like it always chase that feeling. So after that, I know that, so I try to pay my attention to my feeling or some kind of a sensation, a body sensation.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm trying to observe something, then I feel some kind of sensation rise. So in that moment, the mind probably wants to change. So if I can grasp that sensation, that moment, the mind will stay. If I cannot catch that sensation, you know, that small sensation, so mind will get lost.
When you say lost, you just mean it's gone to another object, right?
No, that's mind has evolved to speak in something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He
said in the beginning, you just have to accept this because there's no momentum in the awareness. Yeah, the awareness may not be so continuous. There's not so much momentum.
Okay.
Right, so sometimes we will get lost in thought. So when you're aware, when you get lost and you become aware, you just start again.
Okay.
Just be patient with that process. It's okay to lose your awareness sometimes. Only thing you need to watch out for is the aversion to this. That the mind doesn't like that it's not perfect. Okay, so your mind is like confused or like why is it like this and doesn't want it to be like this. You want to change it. You want to do it right so that it won't be like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so watch that mind. However good it has been before, forget it. Just start where you are now. This is how it is now, and it's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Another question is: sometimes that, like that sensation is very strong. For example,
sensation awareness.
Yeah. No, I mean the body is, you know, kind of feeling. It's very strong. For example, I don't dislike my head touch some mud or some ground. If I touch like a ground like this, so I sometimes generate, you know, my. You know, the very strong dislike sensation comes. But, so if I touch and see, it looks, you know, that, if I think that's not clean, dirty things, if I touch my head, then I feel very strong feeling or sensation in my body. So that's sometimes the mind cannot, I think it's a kind of like a sensation always affect my mind. So I mean, my question is how to handle this kind of worst goal, feeling or sensation. If I did something is I don't like. And
if the reaction is very strong, the first thing that you can do is just try to intellectually change your attitude. Tell yourself this is nature. A feeling is just a feeling. A sensation is just a sensation. What you're knowing is natural. You know, this happens.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then just if you can bring these attitudes in intellectually, he says at least it will allow you to know what's happening, to be aware of it, to observe it.
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes I remind myself, this is anicca. Okay.
Yeah,
it's not permanent.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does not work. Eventually, my mind gets like a more or worse react.
Things like, you know, using things like impermanence and anicca dukkha anatta is only possible when you really understand it. Sometimes when the mind doesn't even intellectually get it in that situation, then it's not possible to use it. It doesn't work.
But you don't feel like it.
He says, if it's dirty, go wash your hands.
Yeah, just
be aware of yourself doing whatever.
Yeah, I know that, but this...
Last question from you. It's already 25 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You can finish that, yeah.
Another question is, I'm trying to follow your style of teaching, but it's not personalized. So something happens, it's not personalized. But even though I remind myself like that, but still, sometimes if I remind myself, but there is another mind, it looks like I don't like this kind of remind.
So when you can remind yourself, remind yourself. When you can't, Seattle says, then don't try to remind yourself, just observe what is happening as it is. Yeah? Don't think of anything, just pay attention, just know that this is happening. We have a reaction when we keep thinking about what is happening. The yogis will have to do this, and that's not ideal. At least I know where to put it.
Yours is more sensitive than the other one.
Yeah.
So, but if we lower yours, that one won't be heard.
Every yogi will have to learn to do this.
Sometimes I get stuck into a dullness, and the way I realize that I've been stuck in a dullness is through noticing a daydream or some thinking. And when I realize that, it's like there's a moment I can stay in that confusion. And is it okay to be okay with that confusion? Or should I anchor myself back to one of the five senses?
It's good that you're okay with the confusion. So that's great. And he says then you experiment. Like, if you can stay aware of that confusion and not sort of get duller, you know, if that helps the mind to anchor itself, and it slowly gets righted, right? Because the key is really continuous awareness. And if you are able to know something clearly, even if it's confusion, the continuity of the awareness will bring the awareness, will awaken the awareness, right?
Okay.
But if you find that it's not working, he says, then yes, you know, maybe alternate, take another object and know this.
Yeah, I feel like it's too drastic to just jump back to the breath or jump back to the sound.
That's why. So do it gradually, figure it out. You know that you know the confusion clearly, and then see if that works, and then if it doesn't work, then try to alternate, and if it still doesn't work, then you know, one step at a time.
Okay.
Thank you. I would like to ask you about the I'm not really clear about the sixth sense of body and mind. Can you explain to me more and give me sample?
So the six senses are the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and the mind. Okay? So
five senses are body, mind, right? The body.
Right? So the body has five senses, right? Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and then the whole body for touching.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the mind. The mind is not in any place or anywhere. Okay? The mind is just known.
Mind door.
Right? So we call it a mind door. That's some technical term. But we can just experience the mind. There's not a place called the mind door where we can look at it. Okay? We just know where we know it.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you want to observe seeing, right? When you want to observe seeing, Tiara says the object of seeing is the very process of seeing. So you might call it sight, or you might call it the process of seeing. It is not the thing that you see. For example, you can see the floor now. You can see the floor. But the floor is not your object.
See.
That you can see the floor. That you can see. You can see everything here now, right?
Yeah.
But everything here is not your object. Your object is the ability to see.
And you don't have to describe or anything.
No, yes. But can you recognize that you are seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is your object.
Uh-huh.
Right? If you close your eyes, you can't see, right?
Yes.
When you open your eyes, seeing is happening, right?
Yeah.
That seeing is the object.
How about the smell? You smell bad or good, or you just smell it? You don't have to describe bad or good smell.
So, okay, the thing with practicing is that there's no need to separate your experience. It's all part of it. There is the mere smelling, and then there is the part of your mind that recognizes and judges it as a good or a bad smell. And you need to know all of it. There's smelling happening. The mind likes it. The mind doesn't like it. The mind thinks it's good. The mind thinks it's not good. All of this we need to know. Siano says usually we are not able to know, for example, just smelling or, you know, seeing or hearing directly, because what comes in very quickly is our liking or disliking. So you smell something and you like it. What you can immediately experience is that you like, say, the smell of a rose. Okay, you like it. So first you have to watch that you like it. You know, watch the feeling that you like it, what it feels good, it feels happy, and then as you watch it, it might calm down. It, you know, the feeling might fade. And then when it feels more neutral, he said, check the sense of smelling. And then you might detect what is just smell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. How about the body? You mean the body is, you feel hot or cold, or how you...
Every single thing you can feel on your body.
Hotness,
whether it's
touching, movement,
tingling, aching, hurting,
pain,
right? Pain, all this is sensations that you feel on your body. Sometimes pleasant. Somebody gives you a massage, it feels good. That's also a sensation.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One more question. I just confused about you say about observe the mind of the pain, but not feeling the pain.
Observe the what?
You say observe of the mind of the pain, but not feeling of the
bodily
pain. How?
Oh, okay.
Bodily and mentally.
Yeah, so it's the difference between what you feel in the body. Like, you know, say you have pain, right, in your leg, for example. So there's what you feel is in the leg.
Yeah.
And then there is a feeling of discomfort in the mind. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you have pain, do you feel uncomfortable in the mind?
Yeah.
So he's saying, don't look at the feeling in the leg, look at the feeling in the mind. Is that?
Is the mind tell you is pain or the...
The mind feels uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Or...
Unpleasant.
Or it feels like this. It feels like tight. It wants to move away from the pain. Can you feel that sort of sensation? That's not sensation, that's our feeling. Yes? Can you feel that?
So look like to me like this is like you just observe your reaction or there's something like that. Like
yes, your reaction.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the language gets more and more confusing.
Mind jaro.
Hello. Hi,
see the name Bhante, you could have picked up.
Thank you so much for coming to the U.S. I really appreciate it. And your teachings have helped me tremendously and my family. So I really, really appreciate that. My question is, so right view with the, you mentioned yesterday in the instructions, which was really helpful. When right view isn't present, the hindrances can come up, and that's been really helpful. I've noticed that I see a hindrance, the mind's thinking, and I switch to not following the object and the story, but seeing what's right view right now. I'm breathing, I feel sensation in my body, I hear. My question is, it dissipates the story and it raises awareness, but it feels a little bit like detached. I know, I mean, maybe I'm in comfort with being attached to the story, but it feels detached, and I noticed it with pleasant too. So, oh, I see the light on the hills. It's pretty. I want more of that awareness. It's just light. It's just, I'm just seeing. So can you describe kind of that, it's a little bit detached feeling. It doesn't feel bad. It feels actually kind of freeing from the story, but I'm just, it's new for me.
Can I just ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
So when you feel detached like this, and if you come back to the story and need to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
are you better able to deal with it because you are less attached?
Yes.
Well, you're right. You should be happy now. You may choose to never buy. So you may ask yourself, "May I simply not have met?" You're right. The cattle, can they come? You be on money. I should be happy. Right? You go. You're right. But those machines, so you are killing that report. Yes, sir. Right? You machine.
Long
machine. And I think that we can't meet. Right? You machine.
Long machine.
Yeah, killing that report. Yes, sir. And you are aim as soon as you kill that report. Love you soon. And you are. Oh, right view or to have below you less or what? She did how to you like that? To that shoulder, because I'm always shaking it. To me, it's a party. To hello, you like the whole Aguna story or to I am a bed on. A good thing, Harry, you like the dog. I am a bed, you like the dog. ပြောပါတယ်ရိုက်ဒီပေါ်ရှိတယ်ဆိုတော့အဲ့လိုဆိုရင်စိတ်ကပေါ့တယ်ဟုတ်ကဲ့ကျက်ပြတယ်ဟုတ်ကဲ့ဟိုဟာကနေစိတ်ကလည်းလည်းဒီတက်ချ်ဖြစ်တယ်လို့ဖြစ်လာတော့နောက်ပြီးတော့ဒီဘက်ကိုတည်ရတာလဲစိုက်တယ်ဥပမာအမြင်တွေပါလေဆိုရင်တချို့ဟာတွေကကြည့်လို့ကောင်းတယ်ဆိုတော့စိတ်ကဒါကိုပို့ပြီးတော့ကြည်နူးပြီးတော့ဒါကိုစိုက်တယ်တပြည့်ပြောတယ်နည်းနည်းစက်မဲမဲမဲဒါပေမဲ့သူ လိုတော့ခံစားရတယ်ဆိုတော့ပိုကောင်းတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူများတစ်ခုခုလုံးနေလားတပြည့်မေးတယ်ဒီလိုမျိုးဖြစ်တော့အဖြစ်ဟိုဒီဒီစိတ်နဲ့ဟိုပြဿနာကိုပဲပြန်ဖြစ်ရှင်းမယ်လို့လုပ်တဲ့အခါမှာအထီရောက်လာဆိုတော့ထီရောက်တယ်ပိုပြီးတော့ကောင်းတယ
်ဆိုတော့ဒါ positive ဖြစ်နေလေတက်တာတော့ထီရောက်လာပေါ့
Services well when the mind is so it's all about the state of mindSince you are
from the lane now the body ya ole ayo pyu le so le ya sit ka shin wa le ma
yeah
I got right you money I got right you money phit daw phit de tai ti ni na le tamma le phit de
it's about the environment of the mind because you are able to actually bring your mind back to the present stay with objects towards which the mind has right view so it kind of fills the mind with right view it makes the mind feel positiveand balanced. He says, then you bring this environment back to what initially had set your mind off balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because you have been successfully able to bring your mind back to balance using other objects, he says, bringing that same environment of mind back to the problem at hand, he says, then the mind has a more balanced view because it is in balance now. So that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
It feels like I can see the awareness also.
Yeah, and in a way, this is a useful thing to do because if the mind had stayed, the longer you stay in the story, the longer the mind winds itself up in the aversion, the longer it takes to unwind that aversion.So the fact that the mind worked effectively with what it knows is helpful, like is more wholesome, you know, helps the mind to come back to a wholesome state so that it can, not to run away from the issue, so that it can bring a positive mindset to the issue.
Well, that, just one follow-up question, because that really helps me think, like last night I was reading Sayadaw's book, and the whole time I was reading, I could feel like aversion thoughts, not towards the book, but just like happening, planning, thinking on the side, so reading and side. So in that case, I'm like, I can see this aversion happening, but I really want to read this book. So would it be better to just stop and, because that's when, and just take a second and go back to right view, like...It's hard to do both. In that instance, it was really hard to read, concentrate, and this like mind chatter of aversion happening in the background. And this kind of correlates to real life, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Manenya, tu sao phani le. Sao phani ne tu sei the ma ta cha a chang tui ni la tu ti le. Ay, tu tui le a chang ya o tu a ma chai de a chang ya phin ni le. Tu a di ha o pha ko chu sa ne.သူတကယ်တမ်းအဲ့ချိန်မှာဒီဟာရှိနေမှလည်းသိတယ်။သူကအနောက်ကနေကိုသူ့ကိုအီးလုံးနေတယ်ဆိုတော့တကယ်တမ်းအဲ့ချိန်မှာခဏမရက်ဖက်နဲ့ဒါကို
ခဲ့ကြည့်လိုက်ပ
ါရှင်းလိုက်ရမှာဟုတ်တယ်မဟုတ်လားမဟုတ်ရင်ဒီဟာကိုလည်းကောင်းကောင်းသိလို့မရဘူး။ဟိုကြီးကလည်းတစ်ချိန်လုံးထိုးနေ Yes it is better to deal with it. Yeah, stop reading for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to read it.
The child you need you that diamond အဲမှာ version ရှိနေတယ် excited ဖြစ်နေတယ်ဆိုသူ့အရင်ရှင်းလိုက
် Yeah he says when we have time and the opportunity, it's always good when we notice that there's some, you know, this is like a niggle in the mind, whether it's whether it's a greedy niggle or an aversive niggle. He says these niggles, if we have, it's like walking with a thorn in your foot. He says, if you can, stop and take it out.
Okay.
It's much more comfortable.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. Just a beginner as a meditator, so And I understand that during the meditation, you, like you just said a while ago, if you have a pain in your leg and your mind doesn't feel the pain, but it's more like uncomfortable, okay? So at that point, what do we do? I know we're trying to go back with our breathing technique to focus on our breathing, but at that point, the pain is still there, so do we move around? Do we adjust it to make the pain go away or something like that? Or
ကျွန်တော်ကလုံးနေကြနိုင်အနာပါနပြန်သွားတယ်ဆက်သွားအဲ့တော့ဘာလုပ်ရမလဲတဲ့ဟိုသူအန်ကန်ကုန်ဖြစ်နေမှာတော့တိတယ်စိတ်ထဲမှာဒါပေမဲ့တအားရှုရမနေ့ကပြောတာပေါ့နားတော့ဘာလို့ရှုရတာလဲအဲ့တော့သူကစိတ်ကိုရှုရမှာလည်းမသိဘူးနောက်ပြီးတော့ပြောင်းရမလားမပြောင်းဘူးအဲ့တော့ရှုရရွေချက်ကအင်းဒီနာတော့တတိထိုင်နေနာနဲ့ပတ်သက်လို့အတိအကျလိုချင်လို့ဒါပရမရွေချက်အဲ့တော့ဒီနာတဲ့ထဲမှာဖြစ်
Okay. So Seattle says, first when we talk about meditating on pain, Seattle says we have to understand the objective. Like, why do we want to even observe pain? We can always make ourselves comfortable, right? Nobody's forcing us to sit with pain. So he says the objective is really to understand the process of pain. Like, how does pain happen? And in order to understand any process, we have to be, the mind has to be neutral. Okay? But when you initially have pain, the mind is uncomfortable. You recognize that. So he says, you notice that the experience of pain is a twofold experience, one happening in the body and one happening in the mind. And then he says, what you do is you need to clear that discomfort in the mind. Right? You need to deal with the discomfort in the mind because it colors your experience in the moment. So then you watch that uncomfortable feeling in the mind. And if, as you watch the discomfort in the mind, if the discomfort goes away, that is the time. When there's no more discomfort in the mind, that is the time to directly watch the sensation in the body.
At that point, can adjust the body.
No. If needed, yes. Okay. But only when there's no more discomfort in the body. Yes, okay. So if there's
only
no...
If needed, right.
So no more discomfort in the mind, it's time to watch the sensation. When do you move is when the aversion in the mind cannot go away and it's increasing. Right? You are uncomfortable and more uncomfortable. It is not helping to watch the uncomfortable mind. Then you should change the body.
Okay, all right. So that's good. So I understand that part there.
Yeah, so Seattle, no going back to the breath.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Going to the breath doesn't help you to understand the process of pain, right? Okay. It's sort of like running away from it so that it doesn't have to face it. So there's no way it's going to help you to understand pain. So. Yeah, so the whole purpose of meditation is to understand, right? Even if we use a strategy of moving away from what is uncomfortable, it's always to strengthen the mind in order to come back and deal with what is difficult. So although sometimes we may not be strong enough to face something directly and learn from it, he says then we need to move away from it as a strategy, because we can't deal with it now. The mind is too distressed. Then, yes, you can pay attention to the breath or go for a walk or something and build your mindfulness. When the mindfulness feels strong enough, you can, it's to come back and then face it again. It's really helpful to know that our experience of pain is very closely related to our aversion towards the pain. So you'll find that when you watch the aversion in the mind, and as the aversion gets less, that the way you experience the pain sensation just now will be different. If the aversion is increasing, you'll find your experience of the pain sensation increasing.
Yeah?
So when the pain is when the aversion is increasing, Sierra says pain always feels intense, like a block, very painful, unmovable, tight. Yeah. But he says when you watch the aversion itself, you're not watching the body, you're watching the discomfort, the aversion itself, he says, if the aversion can soften, he says, really notice how it changes your experience of pain in the body. It's an important exercise because the experience of pain in the body, it parallels many things that we don't like in our lives, right? We have pain in the body, we have aversion in the mind. It parallels like meeting somebody in our life that we don't like. He says when we are in a hurry or in an irritated mood and we see someone that we generally don't like, he says our irritation grows, right? But if we're in a good mood and we see the same person, we don't feel as irritated, right? So it's the same thing. But to really understand what is happening as it is, that our mind must be in a balanced state. Our mind is neither preferring or resisting, you know, our mind is not liking or disliking. When our mind is neutral, then we see what is happening as it is. That's when we learn the truth. So then he says, when we understand this objective, then the exploration of the experience of pain becomes more interesting.
Thank you. So, Sayadaw, thank you so much for coming. It's our great honor to be here. Thank you. This is more of a report than a question. In my practice, I'm able to get to open equanimity quite easily, just upon remembering. So the issue for my practice is remembering. However, my mornings are extremely difficult, and I forget between retreats how impossible it is for me to settle my mind between 5 and 6 a.m. And I feel like I'm in the grip of some fever, and I can't stop the thoughts. I can't find my equanimity. I can't let go until I finally sat at the breakfast table. And then the whole thing just releases. So I'm just wondering, since there are other times of deep stress where the same thing happens, what your advice is to let go when this sort of fever of thought and
this happens every day?
Well, I don't normally meditate from 5 to 6.
Ah.
So I usually avoid most of it, but I recognize when I come to retreat that this is a morning problem,
right.
Particularly. Yeah.
Okay. Retreat.
ไม่ใช่อยู่ตัวเลยอ่ะอภิธรรมอย่างชาสิกก็ไม่ปุ๊บมาสุเนี่ยตัวตริยะไล่ตาเนี่ยสิกก็ปุ๊บเปกขะชื่อเลยตริยะชื่อเลยแต่เป็นไอ้เฉยๆลงว่าอุปัฏฐานไม่ใช่ไงตัวธรรมไม่ใช่ตัวธรรมมันเป็นตัวธรรมมันเป็นอืมสิกก็ไม่รู้มาทําไม่เอาแต่แม้นเอาไว้โหอายุซุซะได้เฉยมามาถ่ายแล้วถ่ายไปแล้วซ้ําเนี่ยลงๆเปี่ยวจ๋าว่ะสิกก็เปลี่ยนเอวว่าแต่แม้ถ้าตัวเนี่ยมอนี่ปฏิญาณเนี่ยโหดูอ่ะดีอ่
your mind has a problem with something in that in the morning?
There's
something your mind. There's something your mind doesn't like about the morning.
That's right.
What is it?
Oh, it's fear.
What is the mind afraid of?
Ancient fears. But it doesn't. The mind, what the mind goes to, is
the weakness.
It's just all over, and I can't open to the
and the rest of the mind, this stuff doesn't come in.
Pardon?
The rest of the day, the mind doesn't, this stuff doesn't come up.
No, it isn't particular stuff, it's just an assault. It's like,
ตั้งมาเสียแต่ลงไม่ถูกทุกสิ่งอาศัยแต่ลงขึ้นเนี่ยก็ก้าวเนี่ยรู้อยู่ใส่ทุกสิ่งก็ดาวตัวจริงนั่นแหละที่ลงเลยตัวไม่ใช่เนี่ยหาใจเนี่ยตัวดาวตั้งมาทำมาก้าวมาลงเต็มดาวมาพิษเต็มดาวอยู่ตัวจัตนาชาเนี่ยวิสุทธิ์ทุกสิ่งก็ไม่เลยมาหรอกตะบงท่าโอ้โหมันเนี่ยท่าเราตัวจัตนาชาเราไม่เข้าเลยตัวไอ้เฉียงใจตัวเนี่ยตัวบ่ว่ามาพิษแค่เลยโอ้น่าจะมีห้องเลยไอ้เฉียงมาก้าวลงเปลี่ยนเวลาเลยต
So Sierra says, just be with it. It's like, sort of like, this is the mind's Achilles tendon, is that what you call it? Heel, Achilles heel, yeah, not the tendon. That's really funny.
It's okay, it's the Achilles heel because they did cut his tendon.
So. Yeah. So he says this is a good opportunity, actually. Yeah, it's a good opportunity. Like, the rest of the day, I think he says you might be able to deal with it better. And at this time, you're not able to. He says you are able to. You're able to be aware. Right? You may not be able to push it out, which is not the objective anyway. He says, so sort of adjust your attitude. It's just about being able to know that it's happening. So long as it doesn't create a fire in you. He says, if you notice that the mind has a judgment that this is a bad experience, right? He says, if you can just put the label away, the bad label away. So this is the experience. In the morning, this happens. Let's see what is happening.
So right view.
Yes.
Right view, awareness, and awareness.
Right view plus awareness.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Fingers crossed. Yeah, he says when we don't fear it, when we face it, he says when we face it, he says, then it is less fearful, fearsome. He says it can be that, you know, because when we have slept the whole night and we're not aware when we're asleep, right? He says we wake up in the morning and the mind is sort of weakest. The whole day we've been building awareness, but in the morning it starts afresh. So the mindfulness is at its weakest, and that's when all these, you know, hindrances have the most opportunity to attack us. But you can take it as an opportunity, because hindrances can be turned into stepping stones. Because every moment that you're aware of a hindrance, you are growing awareness. So turn it into an opportunity.
I am aware of my own body sensation throughout the day, and it's got more intense when I do the meditation during one night. sleeping a mind out, I have less distractions or less thoughts coming up. And I think most of the time, I think whether my mind habits, patterns of sensing or awareing of my body sensation, I kind of like sometimes have the doubt that whether it has been building up the good habit of it. And it's come with the sometimes anxiety or the fears too. Mm. Too.
Hi, Dima.
No, Dima, I'm not a pure fear. What going to the Uba Kim, I can fool it. Well, the banana by the middle, what a mere mechanical sensation it did. Punadina, a mere tinchala, or the metal swings if you're about by young thing it all. Put the child who's in the thing, you know, I'm the Oguchadima, Lemma or Kanzamu, the Chirama Kanzamu, a mere thing it will pin it or chow say pin it.
Tell you, Mother,
So Sierra says, not to be anxious about knowing your sensations all the time. It can seem strange to be aware of the sensations of the body all the time when previously we were not able to know the sensations in the body all the time, and so clearly as well. But when we don't understand why that is happening, he says it can feel strange and anxiety-inducing. But he says the whole purpose of practicing is actually to make it a habit to be aware of what's happening in the body and mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now your mind has sort of developed the habit of being aware of the sensations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because of its habit, it's just automatically knowing what is happening. So Seattle has said before that he used to observe this one object, which is like a beating sensation in his solar plexus area, he used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a long time, Seattle says, when even when he did something else, he would always feel that next to him. Like whether he was paying attention to it or not, he was always aware of it. So that's a, if you recognize that that's helping you to be aware. Yeah, if you recognize that, you know, it's helping you to be aware, then you appreciate the awareness, right? He says when something becomes a habit, it becomes second nature to you. So it's a good sign. So it's a good place to be that you're aware of something in your body all the time. Yeah.
I feel myself that I'm kind of lack of the knowledge. Also, I don't really read much of the understanding of the sometimes, like, I did not have those before, and it's like gradually picking up an intensity of knowing of these are getting more and more. And I just don't feel like, oh, I'm not normal.
Sierra says, yeah, it's not normal like we were when we were deluded. It's a different normal. It's a new normal.
Yeah,
this is not our original
Sierra
often talks about personal effort versus natural effort. And, you know, personal effort is what we use to start ourselves practicing. It's like we start practicing and we need to try to be aware and so on. But when we've been doing it a long time, it starts becoming natural for the mind to notice things because that's what we've trained it to do. And when the mind has become well-trained, then it's like a, you know, when you pedal on a bicycle after a while you don't pedal, it keeps going. So the mind gets into that state where although I don't feel like I'm putting effort, the mind, the quality, of effort in the mind still does its work because that's what it's been trained to do. It's woken up and it keeps doing its work. So then it feels very natural to have that awareness keep working.
Should I be practicing? In fact, I do it once in a while because the bodily is stronger, so I'm trying to like 80%, 30% sounds, like trying to have the sounds hearing from far so that the intensity of the bodily sensation is a little bit lesser, trying to
hearing
or like
I
if you are doing it with there is a paradox in the mind that, you know, when we do something because we're trying to prevent something else, that the reason why we're doing it keeps reminding the mind of why it's doing it. So you can never run away from it, that the more you try to do something to avoid it, the more the mind is reminded of what it's trying to avoid, and it will always be in the back of the mind. Yeah, people who are afraid of pain feel more pain. We think of liking something as attachment. We don't realize that disliking something is an attachment too. So the more we like or dislike something, the more the mind hangs on to that thing. Because it means that the mind keeps thinking of the thing it likes or dislikes. So it's attachment.
Resisting your Buddha.
Yeah. So right now, it's almost like it's not awareness that's making you aware of the sensations. It's fear that's making you aware of the sensations. The anxiety keeps reminding you of the sensations.
So what should I be aware of? Sitting, working.
No, watch the anxiety. So now you know that knowing the sensations of the body is not a problem. If that helps to settle the mind, it's fine. If the mind is feeling fine, you can watch anything. You can be aware of the breath, of the walking, of the sitting, anything. Okay? But if you find the mind is concerned, you need to watch the concern in the mind. So now we're still concerned with what we're observing, right? He says eventually we have to start appreciating the fact that anything we know because awareness is present. So we start appreciating that it's helping the awareness to be present. So we move towards the awareness and appreciating its presence. And not so concerned anymore about what it's aware of. Yeah, this is sort of like the eventual direction, the path that is we're moving towards.
Okay, so
it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. When we don't have enough knowledge about the mind and the body and how they work, sometimes an ordinary experience can feel frightening because we don't understand where it's coming from. When we don't understand cause and effect, how the mind can develop habits or and so on.
Yeah.
When we don't understand the law of cause and effect in the mind, you know how aversion can exaggerate experiences not understanding why the mind has become aware of the sensations all the time. All these, you know, not knowing these, the way the mind works this way, and, you know, it causes
illusion
doubt and confusion in the mind. So it's good to have more information. Yeah, and the more information we have, the more it settles the mind. Yeah, so that we can effectively work with what we have.
I think I had watershed this morning. At the sitting, at first the mind was clear, and then it began, and then I could feel sleepiness coming, and the mind was relaxed, and the body was relaxed, and I could see that tension beginning to drift away, to be with the pleasant sensations, you know, because it was relaxed and soft, and then I realized that, oh, that's sleepiness again. And then I realized that there was something, that the tightness in the mind, and I realized that, oh, that's the reaction to the not liking. And I saw that's how it has always been. So it's not the sleepiness that caused me trouble. It's my reaction to it. Mm. And I began to see that's how I have always been avoiding to include my reaction to the experience. Mm-hmm. Then when I had that realization, the mind began to relax, because it's just the relaxation, it's not the sleepiness. And then the mind became interested in exactly what's happening now. Mm. And right now the mind was foggy, hazy, and then there's the thought, yes, but I am aware of the fogginess, and that's fine. And then the interest picked up, and the mind was interested, and it was clear again. Okay, so there's another thing. Yesterday, when I did the walking meditation, there was, because I always reminded myself that there's nothing to do, just receive, and try not to fix anything. It's not supposed to be anything. So I did the walking meditation. I was aware of seeing, hearing the body movements, and then there was a clear awareness, continuously, until suddenly the body stopped.
Stopped moving?
Yeah, it didn't move. And then I realized that it stopped because it wanted to feel the tightness in the body.
The mind wanted to feel.
Yeah, because there's always a tightness. And after the tightness began to unravel, there was an acceleration of the breath, and then the body moved again. And it kept doing it. You know, suddenly I was like, oh, why did the body stop? And because it wanted to be aware.
The mind wanted to be aware.
Yeah, the mind wanted to be aware. Right. So, I wanted to know, why is it because, did it stop because out of greed or out of aversion?
Did you see?
Yes, and I think both. Because the greed is when the tightness unraveled, the body relaxed. That was pleasant. But also, there's aversion. It wanted to feel it in order for the tightness to go away. So I have an experience that I would like to know. When this walking stopped, and
at that moment, I felt the tightness around the shoulders area. And then suddenly, after the tightness went away, there was a moment then when it feels like everything stopped. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to describe it. I just knew that at that moment, everything stopped.
What is everything?
It's like...
You mean it became quiet or still?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's not stopped. Nothing stopped. It became still.
Right, because I felt there was some, of course, there was some, not quite sinking, but there was not, at that moment, I felt like, I know there was seeing, but it wasn't quite seeing, it wasn't quite hearing, it was just still. Maybe that's the word you used.
Mm-hmm.
So at that moment, there was a perception, this is knowing.
That's a thought.
Is it knowing?
Yeah, that's a thought too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I wonder what Sado would
say.
Advise me to.
Perception was a long time around, doing a whole lot, and around a twin around the look of your bear. Talk your whole Manette, I met him at two ingite dogs, two ingite at the end, at how my carina ingite out, or two a whole yay la rao chine it up. Ingama in the Pima to come and jarama to dinner, it will like Doma, to what 18 again to hoodie ingite out, sick on the chip, who was my aim and I choose a Anyhow, me like that chima who sicko the bopa water look at it. Oh, you know, I do a meeting at what ingida or donate lotina together to a good jama, donate sicko mina, you know, donate sicko mammy, or no jawa, or sicka sings, or sicka time in a month, either sicka, damn a teeny low by time a month, either so or sicka, and out the sings are our rock. Pin it out, a good pin it out, go on teaching us to the same people, sing. When Zawara no Jawara, and I'm a neck up in a good genium, my jar of twa. Twam, the Vilondona, the Kanako Yaya Dora Lupure. Say, Yachin and Lumapio, that might be in Bajan Yale Luji, or to now show my dinner, she did ten. Hey, dinner, shooting a sinker. Yap your shoe lying, your water. Being such out there. Such out for Yapian, Bajan Yamamati to say,
ยาไข่เนี่ยลงไม่ติดอยู่だแม้ไอ้ห่าเปลี่ยนจี้เจินลงจี้ได้ย่อเลยเสร็จๆไปแล้วหนูตัวนี้โดดๆย่อจี้ได้ก็สู้ตัดฉิเนี่ยเราฉิบ่ไม่รู้เลยติเนี่ยมีเบ้เอ้าตัวเมยเลยดีห่าลบละดอดละสอเนบาเทนเลยสอตะคู่สลงป่าเลยแหละโหตัวเปี่ยวฉินน่ะลบป่าเลยไม่ใจลูกเลยเปี่ยวฉินน่ะดอดป่าเออไอ้ห่าตัวเมยเนี่ยพี่รอตัวดีโลเสร็จตีเนี่ยตัวยัดตัวเลยสอบายัดอกลงยัดตัวเลยห่มลงล่ะหนูบ่มาไม่ยัดป่าวหนูไ
apian ayo tai chi ni da mho tin na tu phit ni da o ti ni lo tu mien nan man ti de cha ni man ti de sait ka da ti de lo pyo de da mae atwei ma shi lo pyo mho a da twei so lo all in u sum ma pyo ma le da
we bo pyo de a we ta ni ban ti ni le
Sierra's, yeah, you know, the walking bit, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're aware of all these things happening, right? That's all that's important, that awareness is still there. Okay, yeah, and it was a thought.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing to notice is that, you know, every time you stopped walking, mm-hmm. It's not the body stop. It's because you want, the mind wanted to stop, right? So
intention to stop.
Right. So without that intention, the body won't stop. So it would be wrong to say just that the body stopped, right?
Oh, no, I meant, right, yeah.
Yeah, you know
why,
that the mind wanted to stop. Because it wants to see
the
tension in the back. And why does it want to see the tension in the back? Because it doesn't like the tension, wants to deal with it. Okay, so you know this change, right? So there's a whole process of all these things that the mind plans, is planning.
Right?
So actually you know the process, but your description sort of lacks the detail, that's all.
And
it's because you can see the intention that you can detect the greed and the aversion in the intention, right?
Yeah, only this morning, because yesterday I didn't understand why the body stopped. The mind was thinking about it. Uh-huh. So this morning I did the walking meditation again and I saw, oh, that's intention.
Yeah.
That was intention.
Yeah,
and Sero has also said, he says, there is no need to stop walking in order to watch that sensation. He said that's like a carryover from our old practice where,
yes,
you know, we're told to watch it more carefully, you should stand and watch, but actually we should train our mind, and you know, at home sometimes we can't stop, so train your mind, you already know the sensations there, just keep watching it as you walk, right?
But it was greed.
It was greed, okay.
It was
loba ne doda a little bit.
Okay.
So just earlier you were mentioning how Sayadaw had like this continuous awareness of this sensation like in his abdomen. So I was wondering,
in his solar plexus.
But I was wondering, so the goal is a continuous awareness of an object. I guess ideally you have continuous awareness of multiple objects.
I think ideally just continuous awareness.
Okay. Because I was always like
It
might be helpful to know that in Seattle's early day practices, he really did hang on to one object, but he didn't stay with only the one object. So he used this as an anchor, and it was like, it's like a lighthouse, you know? He stayed in the lighthouse, and then the beacon sort of like shined on everything in the, you know, in the sea, and he could see the other. So he stayed with the one object to enable his awareness to be present, and then use the awareness to also not forget the other things, the other experiences.
So
with much practice, kind of like years of doing that continuously, he says his awareness gained momentum, and then he was able to be naturally aware of everything. But he says the mind didn't forget that object. It had become a habit. So then it would just stay there, and it would keep the momentum going.
Okay. Yeah, because like sometimes, ideally, I know we're trying to understand how the reactions and identification stuff works. So then sometimes I'm just focusing on the feeling of my feet, and I'm just like, maybe I'm focusing too much on just that feeling and not, then I kind of get doubt and like, am I supposed to be doing something better right now? But
yeah, ตัว ayun ตะคู่ตัวใส่อุปมาฉิดเอาล้างช่องนี้ฉิดเอาแท้ขันธ์5ตัวปรใส่นี่แล้วใส่ตัวอย่างนี้ไม่ติดหรอก he says if we get too focused on one sensation then we won't know the reactions in the mind, right? So any reaction that's close to the heart, he says, not reaction, any sensation that's close to the heart, so in his case that sensation, it was a useful sensation to take, because if he had a reaction, it was more easily detected. You know, if his attention was on his foot and really in his, like, concentrated in the foot, he says maybe he wouldn't detect another emotion easily. But being in the heart area, he says even though he was on a physical sensation, then if he felt something, it was also easily noticed.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, I think I was doing something similar with, like conversations and stuff. I think I tried to get a feet while I was talking or something.
Yeah.
Felt kind of stupid, but then I moved to like moving attention to the throat or like vibrations of the throat. I think it's closer to feelings, but
I don't know.
That's a good thing to do, experiment to see what is more helpful, mm-hmm. right? To keep the awareness going. And he says, of everything, he says, as we go through these, through all our experiments on mindfulness and learning about mindfulness, he says eventually we get to a place where we know awareness is present. And when we know awareness is present, he says it frees us from chasing the objects. Because when it's the awareness happens in the mind, right? Mm. Awareness is a component of mind. And because it's in the mind, then you also readily know other things that happen in the mind, like what the mind is feeling or doing and so on. And of course, awareness is what helps us know everything else in the body as well. So that's why he wants us to recognize that whenever we get to a place, because we'll sort of bop in and out of it, but whenever we get into that space where we can sort of abide in the awareness, we can, we recognize the awareness, it's a good place to be. Yeah, it's like being in the control tower. Air traffic control tower, and you can see everything. Yeah, bird's eye view.
Okay. So with the non-identification thing, so then there's like anatta, where there's like the whatever anatta insight, and then when you guys talk about right view, it seems kind of similar in the sense that you're saying when you view an object, don't view it as being like part of yourself or something.
Personal.
So it's kind of just like looking for input, and like when you properly use right view, how are things like in your experience supposed to change? Because I think like for a long time I was really frustrated like trying to figure it out exactly what to be doing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think maybe it's a little bit better. Like if I watch a thought that's come up before or emotion, I can kind of, there's like some more distance, I think, but I'm not sure if that's the same thing that you guys are talking about.
Anatta is actually, the principle of anatta has many facets to it. Okay? And if you, when you, actually they're all different ways of expressing the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back to the same idea. So we call it cause and effect. We also say everything is nature, not personal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to identify because there's no need to identify because it's not personal, because it's cause and effect. So you'll see that they're really related, and
mm-hmm.
they all bring you back to the same point. You know, there's this. Okay, now he's just thought of something.
Process. Okay.
So he says, so there's a process. So the process is cause and effect, right?
The process, physical process, mental process.
There's a process going on, and so everything I'm going to say is actually all can be referred to as an anatta, okay? This process is a process of mental processes and physical processes.
Process.
Mm-hmm.
So mental process, physical process, anatta,
mm-hmm.
right? A process is happening, anatta, right?
process,
yes, and it's a cause and effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we think this process is me, right? That's the identification, right? So there's everything happening on this side, the cause and effect. And we don't really need to not have either of this. There's a process and a thinking that this is me. We just need to see this whole thing. There's a process and I think it's me. We don't have to get rid of anything. We just need to recognize what is there.
Idea.
Only when everybody is done.
Thank you.
I'm also very interested in this non-personalizing and in two ways, in the bigger way of who is aware, and in a simple way, I find very silly worrying about what to wear at retreat, whether should I shave today, what am I eating, am I eating too much? And I feel silly, but still, it's going on all the time. People like me or not.
It's necessary.
Even though I know at retreat nobody cares.
Yeah. Sarah says the main thing is to recognize that you are aware of all these processes happening. The mind is thinking of what to wear, what to eat, whether it's, you know, whether it should choose to eat this or that. This is a normal process of the mind. We are here to understand the nature of the mind, the way the mind works. And this is one of the ways the mind works. It has some opinions about what's healthy, what it should wear that's appropriate. You know, if we didn't have these functions of mind, then we would, you know, run around like a madman, right? So they're necessary functions of the mind. The only thing that you know, what's really what we really need to appreciate is that you are aware of these processes. And also recognize not just that there is this process going on, the mind is thinking about this and this, but also to recognize that this is the mind that's thinking this. That this is not a problem, this is the nature of the mind. You're trying to understand the nature of the mind, you're seeing it, right? To say, oh yes, I see this. This is what the mind is doing. Let's continue to watch and we'll discover more of what the mind does and why. Right? We have to let nature take its course and we observe it so that we understand how nature does its thing.
Right?
This is how we discover nature's nature. Yeah.
Also, maybe later if you come to this subject, I would like to know more about this knowing. You know, they talk about what is knowing and somehow this word knowing comes out. You can talk about it later.
Knowing is the nature of the mind.
Knowing or to definition beta, knowing or mind or I mean tita lo to say you
pure. So
tita de the bow.
The mind is defined by the Buddha in a couple of ways. One of them is one of the definitions is that which knows, that is the mind. Another one is that which thinks, that is the mind.
Ability to know.
Right? So the ability to know is inherent
mind.
To the mind.
That definition.
Right?
Yeah. Understanding PM.
That is what makes it the mind. The body cannot know. If it knows, then it must be the mind. That's how it's defined. The quality of knowing belongs to the mind. Only the mind can know. That's how it's defined.
Thinking is the same.
Yeah, same with thinking, right? Thinking,
can
only
think,
the mind
ability
thinks.
Ability to think is the mind.
Yeah, the body doesn't think. Only the mind thinks.
And can we use that knowledge that mind is doing the knowing in our practice or to
Yes, you can like acknowledge to yourself that the awareness, you know, knowing is the mind. The mind is knowing now. You can acknowledge that.
Intellectual level, you know. I would be on now, Nalena, intellectual level, experientially, atomic.
So, what we're moving to, he says, now this is all intellectual for us. We can understand it by thinking about it, and to our logic, it sounds plausible. It sounds, it feels comfortable in the mind. So, this is our intellectual understanding. He says, eventually, as we keep observing, at some point, we will actually feel it more deeply, where the understanding gets much more visceral, much more rooted in the mind, where it feels like it's truth, where you really see the truth of it. And that's where we're trying to get to.
Awareness of awareness. Recognize the awareness.
Recognize
the awareness.
We're just talking about recognizing our own awareness.
Awareness of awareness, though. Awareness of awareness, though. Try to be aware, though. Recognize the awareness of position.
So we're talking about how we used to say awareness of awareness, but that confused some people. It felt like you had to deliberately try to be aware, so it's not so much that, it's just a recognition of the awareness that's already present, and that's it. When there is enough practice, we start to recognize that awareness is present or the awareness is not present, and that's enough. That means you see the awareness.
So just want to follow up with one of the observations on the decisions that are being made by the mind.
The what? The decisions?
Any decisions being made by the mind.
Mind, okay. Yeah.
So there's a lot of time when I observe that when the decision is made with the right view and the right attitude, it's great. But there's a lot of time when during the process of daily activities and things like that, you kind of missing the view, the right view and the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And from my personal opinions, when I have no right attitude, what I try to do is defer the decisions until a later time. A lot of time that helped. Sometimes it's, it just has to come out, at that moment. And when you review it, the decision is not as good as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It also, in the daily environment,
mm-hmm.
In order to observe, to get both the right view and the right attitude, you have to be, always have to be, being aware and cultivate it.
Yeah.
So otherwise, it won't be as good as you want to.
So if you're a whole right view net, right attitude, go near shine, so catch it by each other,
Pobro,
count it, bro. To go around
the world.
To go around the world, to send out my net, come, master, to oh, boy, to send out my long may I to achieve you, bro.
เสียเองอ่ะโลยปุ๊บมันเนี่ยแหละปุ๊บก้าวเนี่ยแต่แม้แต่คัดนี่เฉยไม่ชื่อแล้วเสียชื่อแล้วว่าเลยเสียชื่อเนี่ยลองเนี่ยแหละชะเลยอ่ะอะคังซုံးไม่ผิดหรอกแหละเออดีหานี่โตเฉยลงโหบะคัลติเวทเฉยลงตู้ก็ปั๊วท่ามั้ยครับผมไอ้สออโตเมติกตัวนั้นตู้เนี่ยตู้ก็บ่มาก็ไม่ซินซ้าได้อ่ะมันรู้ตัวเรียนเนี่ยเนี่ยบ่าล้อมันติดไปแล้วแต่แม้บ่าเปล่ามันติดไปแล้วไม่อยากท่าแต่ติงซ่าอ่ะรออยู่อ่ะครับผมเลสซั่นอ
Yeah, he says, you know, yes, we have to cultivate it all the time, but we'll keep coming across new lessons, things that we haven't learned before, so we need to
lesson
learn
three,
again.
Lesson 4, lesson 5, lesson 6 are coming.
Yeah.
Still, you are ready.
Yesterday when the Sajidra mentioned about the eyes open and eye closed, and then I keep saying that, I thought that I'm thinking that I've been aware pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But then when Sayadaw mentioned that, I just also observed that I haven't done a lot of, you know, the lookings and awareness and things like that. So that's the other part.
Yeah, it is a weakness for us as yogis. We just forget that we're seeing. It's easy to remember the body.
So what happened from yesterday is that what I'm trying to look or pay more attention to the lookings and seeing. And
actually, the mind,
he says, really, in a sense, we are like keeping tabs on the mind. When we notice that we are seeing and hearing, then we notice the mind looking and listening through those faculties.
Right. So when we are seeing and I keep my eyes open, the eyes has a tendency to close. At that time I was looking to see, okay, was there like and dislike in the process?
Mm-hmm.
But it could be the mind tricked me that, you know, there's no like or dislike. So if I keep the eyes open, it almost seems like I exert some energies to keep the eyes open. Versus, you know, if it's keep closing and I let it go, and it's okay. It's feel a little bit comfortable, but I guess it can go back to the habit.
But do you stay awake with your eyes closed?
A lot of time, but sometimes.
Okay, that's it. So, Thai, yes, you put that, the PP Beijing, all right.
Wait, oh, Thai,
Thai, Thai, Thai, Thai, Thai, Thai, So long as you remain alert with your eyes closed, that's fine. So the goal is just to remain awake and alert and aware. Yeah.
Can I ask an add-on to what he asked about decisions, deferring decisions? I'm just wondering when Sayada was a layman, if he, like with the busy schedule and everything, was he able to be aware and make decisions? Or did he defer them sometimes and with the busy life?
So he starts by saying, you know, of course, you know, sometimes he says there's not enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not enough to sit on your cushion and just watch your mind. He says sometimes you need to go out and gather information. Like he was a businessman. He had to go out and figure out, should he buy this sweatshirt or that type of sportwear, you know, because he was selling men's clothes. And And he had to go out and find, in order to figure out what would sell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he would have to actively do something to find things out. Sometimes he couldn't make the decision alone. It may have had to do with finance or something. He needed to find out. And he had to go and get the requisite information.
Mm-hmm.
He said if it had something to do with the mind, it was easier for him. You know, if it was a state of mental chaos, he said he was able to clear that. I said, what about when you had difficulty?
Mm-hmm.
What about when you... when he was still confused and you know, when he was still depressed and he couldn't really make decisions quickly. What then? He said, so I think there was a middle time when he would sometimes have to defer it and watch the mind and clear the mind. And I said, what about before that, when you were so depressed that you couldn't clear the mind? When you said, you know, he has said that he would be in so much fear he couldn't make a decision. He just would not know whether to buy it or not to buy it. And he said, what he used to do was just make the decision. He would do what was easiest for the mind, was just don't buy it, because there was so much fear. And then he would find out it was a mistake. You know, everybody would maybe be selling it, and he wasn't. He was like, oh, you know, in his state of fear, it was easier not to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't make it, he wouldn't buy it, and then realize that he made a mistake. And he would have to learn from it. He says, so he made lots of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had to make the mistakes, but he would learn from them, you know, and eventually, and of course he was practicing throughout.
Do you want to ask something?
Can I just pause it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just thinking whether should I be doing the crisis awareness or just looking for an object?
ก็นะว่าอายุชีแดนลงนี่จ้ะส่วนชีแดนเนี่ยสร้างอะไรปุ๊บเนี่ยชีแดนเนี่ยอายุตะคู่อยู่ในจ้ะอายุตะคู่แล้วมันน้องไปสึกกูตีได้สึกกูตีรู้ยายอุปเวนะสกุลก็คือ
the
ไอ้ไม่ได้ไม่รู้ไม่รู้มันไม่อยากดูถ้าย้อนไปไม่ยอมเลยดูย้อนไปแล้วเนาะไปเนี่ยไม่รู้ล่ะอายุเนี่ยตีเสียงนะคู่ก้วยล่ะเลยตีเสียงเนี่ยตีอ่ะไอ้นะคู่ก้วยล่ะดูสมมุติเป็ดตัวเลยอ่ะสึกก็ไม่ตีสึกค่ะอย่างนั้นตีอ่ะมาฟีลลิ่งเนี่ยอึดตัวเลยเนาะคุณน่ะดูอายุเนี่ยเสียงนะคู่ล่ะตะดิทามิล่ะตีเสียงเนี่ยตีอ่ะนะคู่ผิดๆล่ะดูส่วนยิง ตีเสียถ้าตีเสียน้าเลยถ้าตีนี่น้าน้าเลยไอ้ตัวนักคู่กวยล่ะนี้ฉันนักคู่ผิดตัวไอ้เลยฉิมมาตีเสียตีเหล่าเปลี่ยนตีรู้ยาถ้าว่าเมื่อวันตาตาตีท้านี่ในกู้เสือเปลี่ยนเสือไปตีชีนี่ล่ะตีท้านี่ล่ะไอ้ลูกเปลี่ยนไม่แน่เลยไอ้ตีท้าเราตีไปในจวนจวนตีชีนี่ก็คือเสกขาตาตาอ่ะตีนี่เลยตาตีเลยสุดคือมันนี่อะไรเสกขาเบี้ยวนี่เลย
So the question is, should the yogi do choiceless awareness or use an anchor, use one object? And Sierra said it depends. You know, in the beginning, if you're not skillful, it's more helpful to start with an object just to establish mindfulness or awareness. And then as you keep practicing, he says the process is that as you keep being aware of the, you start with the object and then, you know, being aware of whatever else comes up, if it comes up, you start to notice that there's not just the object that you know, there's also...
Object and awareness and appreciation.
There's also the knowing, you know, the awareness of the object. When you can tell there's a difference between the object and the knowing of it, then that's when you can move towards just like acknowledging that the knowing is also present. The awareness is also present. And eventually it gets to a point, Sarah says, where you can just recognize this awareness and let you, you know, and be with whatever the awareness has already chosen to be with. So this is the exercise some of you are familiar with. If you touch your finger and thumb together, you know that it's touching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you knowing you're touching?
Mm-hmm. Feel
right?
It. I feel.
Yeah,
you know you're touching, huh?
Yeah.
So don't touch. Huh? Touching?
Not touching.
Not touching. Touching? Not touching. Forget about touching. Knowing? Not knowing. Knowing? Not knowing. Knowing and touching.
Knowing, you touching.
The same. Knowing and touching is already happening. But touching is very obvious. Knowing is not obvious because you are not skillful yet. And slowly, slowly, you notice from knowing, 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 then knowing becomes more obvious. Okay? So, no, thanks to the mind is no form, no shape, no color. But you can experience this is happening or this is walking. Right? Thinking is, you try to think, this walking. This activity of the mind.
You try to think?
Sinza bu chosa ni re. Try to think.
Try to think. Sinza bu chosa ni re.
Sinza lao ti bu. Sinza lao lo ni.
So just thinking.
Thinking. Okay. Thinking. Sinza lao lo ni. Sinza ni lao ti lo ya. Sinza ni lo ni la ti lo ya.
Thinking is happening.
Knowing and touching is happening. But you can know this happening. But no form, no shape, no color. But experience. A lot of experience and more understanding about this mind. Knowing, pay attention, intention, volition, feeling. Right? Okay, see you next time. Time up.
Just one question.
Okay.
So, for that no personal life, the anatta, that question. So, sometimes if I did something like wrong, like made some wrong decision.
Wrong decision, yeah.
Yeah. Literally, you know, I know that in a certain way, I know that it's not me. Just that
moment,
right person. I know that it's not me who did that. But still, I have worked deeply. Attachment. That was me.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'm wrong. So that level, experientially understanding.
Yeah, so that, you know, he said depends on how much we understand it. He said some things it's easy to depersonalize and some things it's not easy to depersonalize and we shouldn't try to. You know, we just recognize, oh, this, the mind still feels it, you know, identified with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry?
When's the
next time English
will be
every day.
Every day.
English group
every morning.
I think
the second or third, there was no interview.
Oh, on the third.
On the third.
Seattle is going out. So on the third, there will be no interviews at all. No morning session, no evening session.
Okay,
on the third. There's no session. But morning and evening sessions are on every day except on Wednesday.